Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Welcome to the AI Hustle Podcast, the podcast where we break down the latest in AI news, tools, and interview experts helping you hustle and do more using AI. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll know that over the last 6 months, I've been working on a stealth AI startup. Of the hundreds of projects I've covered, this is the one that I believe has the greatest potential. So today I'm excited to announce AI Box. AI Box is a no-code AI app building platform paired with the App Store for AI that lets you monetize your AI tools. The platform lets you build apps by linking together AI models like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and 11 Labs. Eventually, we'll integrate with software like Gmail, Trello, and Salesforce so you can use AI to automate every function in your organization. To get notified when we launch and be one of the first to build on the platform, you can join the waitlist at aibox.ai. The link is in the show notes. We are currently raising a seed round of funding. If you're an investor that is focused on disruptive tech, I'd love to tell you more about the platform. You can reach out to me at jaden@aibox.ai. I'll leave that email in the show notes. In what I view is a significant boost to kind of the rising sector of maritime automation, Saronic, a Austin-based startup, is focused on autonomous defense ships and has successfully secured $55 million in a Series A round. Now, to me, this is a particularly interesting field and industry. For those that don't know, I actually, when I was a teenager, when I was, 17, I spent an entire year sailing from San Francisco down to San Diego. And we spent a few months in California, and then we sailed across the ocean to the South Pacific. We visited virtually all the islands in the South Pacific and ended our boat trip in Vanuatu. We, visited Tonga, Fiji, Samoa, pretty much everywhere in the South Pacific, and we lived on a boat for an entire year. So for me, when I see, any of these sort of startups that are specifically in this maritime space, this is very interesting to me. I think I'll have some interesting insights on, what may or may not be useful in some of these situations. But of course, this is more focused on defense, which I do not have a ton of experience in, was never part of the military or anything like that. In any case, this is really, really interesting. So the funding round actually witnessed leading participation from Caffeinated Capital. They also had a few other kind of notable VCs, including 8VC, Andreessen Horowitz, which of course A16Z, one of the tops. They had Lightspeed Venture Partners, Point72 Ventures, and they had a few others. I think interestingly, the US Innovation Technology Fund also put into this round. So this was founded by Dino Mavroukas, who is an ex-Navy SEAL, and that's, Saronic's mission is very crystal clear. Essentially, what they're trying to do is engineer autonomous surface ships tailored for the Navy and other defense customers within the U.S. alliance. So while autonomous maritime vehicles aren't entirely new, with companies like, Saildrone already making a bunch of waves, they have over $100 million in venture capital, I believe, for kind of research vessels. The focus on defense by Saronic, I think, kind of distinguishes its market position. So other firms like Y Combinator-backed Shone are directing efforts on tech to retrofit existing ships for autonomous navigation. I think what's, really the unique proposition of Saronic is that they recently said, quote, "We build our boats around the mission and not the mission around the boats. Instead of adapting legacy platforms, Saronic innovates from scratch, aiming to bridge the gap between large naval ship manufacturing and the need for specialized autonomous ship design." So currently the company's spotlight is on two prototypes. They have a 6-foot Spyglass and a 13-foot Cutlass. And these are actually very small ships. I guess I'm sure you can imagine, right? Six feet. This is like a rowboat pretty much. Not even, right? And 13-foot. So they're really going for very small and I'm assuming very versatile crafts. These vessels are designed with some really cutting edge, remotely updatable software and an ability to handle varied payloads, even in communication challenge zones. So the thing that, a couple things I'll say here, these are very small, so I'm assuming these are meant to go very fast and get into places. They're probably hard to hit. They're a very small target, so I'm assuming that this is great for, you know, that when you're looking at the military. One thing that I think is interesting, though, is it says these are remotely updatable. They have remotely updatable software. This is actually something, recently speaking with some people in this industry, specifically looking at the military, this is something typically I actually see people wanting to avoid. You do not typically want remote updatable software on your ship, because if it's remote updatable, that means it's prone to be hacked, essentially. Something that a lot of people are working on right now is, you know, essentially computing on the edge, aka like making these AI models like run on the actual tank or on the actual Humvee or on the actual vehicle itself, if it's going to be autonomous, self-driving. Because the problem is, if it's, you know, relying on anything in the cloud, then that can get severed. The connection can get severed. If it doesn't have connection, it doesn't run, it can't update. Or, of course, you could have a remote hack that is, you know, essentially updating a piece of hardware or a piece of software onto it that is, you know, going to render it obsolete. So that's my only thing that I think is a little bit, I'm a little bit skeptical on. But in any case, I'm sure they're, you know, creating encryption in other areas. But, you know, we do know a lot of our geopolitical adversaries here in the United States, when you think of people like Russia or China, et cetera, are very, very sophisticated in their hacking and in their, in essentially that whole side of their military. So something that I would definitely say is important to think about. In any case, the U.S. Navy has already signed two R&D agreements, which I think is definitely a testament to the startup's potential. Ann Heim, who is a journalist, recently spotlighted a shift in the VC landscape. More investment is definitely right now, I believe, pouring into defense tech. So, in fact, 2021 was a banner year for U.S.-based defense tech startups, raising around $2.1 billion across 53 deals. And I think the pace isn't relenting. So Helsing, which is a defense AI startup, they recently raised a whopping $223 million in a Series B round. Close on its heels, there's Castellion and Mach Industries, which secured substantial funding for their different defense tech initiatives. So what is driving the surge in defense tech spending? A lot of people are talking. I think there's a lot of things that play into this right now. I think someone that was kind of like on the edge, kind of pushing this forward before it was super popular, of course, a lot of people think of Palmer Luckey, who is, you know, kind of the founder of Oculus. And after selling that to Facebook, and then I believe getting kicked out of Facebook by the leadership there, he obviously had a, you know, sizable check from the sale. I believe they bought Oculus for around $3 billion. And he went on to go and start Anduril, which is a defense startup. They're building a bunch of autonomous, aircrafts and some other, you know, drones and other interesting things in the space. And he's been like a very vocal proponent of, essentially in tech, a lot of times we see people that say, you know, they're too good, or they kind of have this, you know, superiority complex against working with the military and the U.S. government. His, you know, line of reasoning is that tech companies that are in America should 100% be working with the American government to defend the country that they are, you know, operating in, as it's definitely in their best interest. And so I think we've seen kind of a shift in the VC landscape where, you know, you used to have companies like Google, which refused to do any work with the U.S. military. And so I think it's becoming companies and venture capital is definitely warming up to this idea. In addition to that, I think the geopolitical chessboard has, you know, of course, the ongoing Ukraine conflict, which is, if you just looked at it from a political perspective, there is definitely more lawmakers on the Democrat side that are more publicly supporting that, and probably more on the conservative side that are less in favor of funding that conflict. And so I think because of that, of course, Silicon Valley, where you typically had this pushback against working with the military from employees at Google who were, you know, had a higher chance of being left-leaning, all of a sudden there's kind of this like big conflict that I believe, you know, their own political party is really talking about the importance of. And so I think, you know, things like that also are kind of shifting the mindset of people on the right and left as far as working with tech and working with, tech in the military. So I think there's a bunch of also regulatory shifts in China that are affecting tech exports and investments, combined with some really proactive U.S. policies like CHIPS and the Science Act are kind of recalibrating global investment strategies. However, I think amidst all of these global, you know, currents, Saronic remains focused on its core strength. As Marukas puts it, the company is not just another boat builder dabbling in tech, but is a bona fide tech firm addressing the unique challenges of maritime autonomy. So far, Saronic's voyage seems very promising. I think they have $70 million in venture capital already in their bank, and I think they have a really robust team of around 45 people. So the startup, I think, is poised to make some big steps in maritime defense tech, and it's definitely a company we'll continue to follow into the future.
If you are looking for an innovative and creative community of people using ChatGPT, you need to join our ChatGPT creators community. I'll drop a link in the description to this podcast. We'd love to see you there, where we share tips and tricks of what is working in ChatGPT. It's a lot easier than a podcast, as you can see screenshots, you can share and comment on things that are currently working. So if this sounds interesting to you, check out the link in the comment. We'd love to have you in the community.
Thanks for joining me on the OpenAI podcast. It'd mean the world to me if you would rate this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Hustle podcast. If you could do us a massive favor, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. This helps people find the podcast. It helps people know this is a good place to go. And we would really, really appreciate it as it helps us continue to bring on incredible guests and share incredible content for you to listen to.